This is the day the Lord has made, and we are here to rejoice and be glad in it. Good morning and welcome to West End. We're delighted that you've joined us for this worship on this misty day, especially if you're here for the very first time or you've just begun attending recently. We want to offer a word of welcome to you. We who are here week in and week out will extend the hand of friendship to you and express our hope that you'll become a part of our family of faith here. We will have a time to do that following the sermon and following our affirmation of faith as we pass the peace of Christ, so be ready for that. One way to be involved and become a part of a family of faith is to begin to take part in what God is doing through this congregation. You find lots of opportunities that will be listed in your bulletin insert. Let me encourage you to read all of those. I'm going to lift up a few. Don't forget, 7th and 8th graders, that your small groups are meeting at the Ryan's house this evening, and you are all welcome to be a part of that. Also, we have a Called Charge Conference February 21st at 5:30 p.m. It will be at the beginning of our ministry table meeting. It will be specifically to align clergy salaries with our lay salaries. We gave a small increase across the board to our staff, and we are very grateful. But you can't do that for clergy without a charge conference. So that's the reason we have that coming up. If you are a member of Ministry Table, we expect you to attend. Anyone is invited to attend. We have a gardening series coming up, sponsored by our Creation Care team. If you look at the small bulletin insert, you'll find one half of it gives you lots of information about that gardening series. I know a bunch of you will want to take part in that. The other side of that insert gives you a report on our estimates of giving for 2017. We're actually doing pretty well, except there are a few of you who estimated your giving for 2016 and haven't for 2017. The good news is there's still time. And at the bottom of this sheet, you can find the different ways that you can do that. And finally, if there is a little extra energy in this service today, it's because we have some very special friends visiting with us. We have our own children's choir, the children's choir from our neighbor across the way, across the Vanderbilt campus at Belmont United Methodist Church, and we have the choir from Decatur First United Methodist Church in Decatur, Georgia. We welcome you all. We're delighted that you're here. We're very excited for you to lead our worship service. And you should know that at the time of passing of the peace, they're going to have to slip out because they have another service to do this morning across the campus at Belmont United Methodist. So we'll offer our greetings now and our thanks now, and we know that you'll have to slip out just a little bit early. Do you ever start something and all of a sudden somebody has this need and they think it's more important than what you're doing, and so your work is interrupted and you have to go help them or answer a question, and then you get back to your work and it can be exasperating, can't it? Well, listen, it's nothing new, and maybe, just maybe, it's a gift.
come as supplicants today to pray for wholeness.
As the woman did, we touch the robe of Christ in hopes of healing.
We turn today toward Christ, who heals us.
Praise to God who shares our pain, our failings, and our brokenness.
In confession, we acknowledge together the ways we have turned away from the path of God. Let us confess our sins together. We confess that in pursuing our own desires, we have made little room for you in our lives. Too often we avoid the inconveniences of those in need of comfort or love, and fail to do your work in the world. Often we ruin troubles. Suffering or implications, and fail to see your work in our lives. Let us slow down enough to pause in life's interruptions, the distractions, the failures, the tragedies, so that we might experience the miracle of discovering you in them. Take comfort in the forgiveness that is freely given to you by the one who always has time to comfort you, your needs, your longings, and suffering. One of the great joys of the church is the baptism of children. This morning, Aaron Dorn Dale and Caroline Shipley Dale bring their son, William Hawkins Dale, before God and the community of faith for baptism.
Brothers and sisters in Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church. We are incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation and given new birth through water and the Spirit. All this is God's gift, offered to us without price. Now, Aaron and Caroline, I ask you on behalf of the whole church, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in His grace, and promise to serve Him as your Lord in union with the church which Christ has opened to people of all ages, nations, and races? Will you nurture this child in Christ's holy church, that by your teaching and example he may be guided to accept God's grace for himself, to profess his faith openly, and lead a Christian life? Now, congregation, do you as Christ's body, the church, reaffirm both your rejection of sin and your commitment to Christ? If you do, please say, we do.
We do.
Will you nurture one another in the Christian faith and life and include this child now before you in your care?
With God's help, we will proclaim the good news and live according to the example of Christ.
We will surround this child with love and forgiveness that he may grow in his service to others. We will pray for him that he may be a true disciple who walks in the way that leads to life. Let us pray. Eternal God, when nothing existed but chaos, you swept across the dark waters and brought forth light. In the days of Noah, you saved those on the ark through water. After the flood, you set in the clouds a rainbow. When you saw your people as slaves in Egypt, you led them to freedom through the sea. Their children you brought through the Jordan to the land in which you promised. In the fullness of time, you sent Jesus, nurtured in the water of a womb. He was baptized by John and anointed by your Spirit. He called his disciples to share in the baptism of his death and resurrection and to make disciples of all nations. Pour out your Holy Spirit to bless this gift of water and this child who receives it, to wash away his sin and clothe him in righteousness throughout his life, that in dying and being raised with Christ, he may share in his final victory. All praise to you, eternal God. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with you and the Holy Spirit, lives and reigns forever. Amen. What name is given this child?
William Hawkins.
William Hawkins. William Hawkins, I baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. You'll put your hands on him. William Hawkins, the Holy Spirit work within you, that you being born through water and the Spirit may be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ all of your days. Amen. Amen. Yes. All right. Come with me.
Will the congregation please stand and face this child? Now it is our joy to welcome our new brother in Christ. Members of the household of God, I commend William Hawkins to your love and care, Do all in your power to increase his faith, confirm his hope, and perfect him in love.
We give thanks for all that God has already given you, William Hawkins, and we welcome you in Christian love. As members together with you in the body of Christ and in this congregation of the United Methodist Church, we renew our covenant to participate faithfully in the ministries of the church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness, that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's pray together the prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. A lesson from the Gospel according to Luke. Now there was a woman who had been suffering from hemorrhages for 12 years. And though she had spent all she had on physicians, no one could cure her. She came up behind him and touched the fringe of his clothes, and immediately her hemorrhaging stopped. Then Jesus asked, "Who touched me?" When all denied it, Peter said, "Master, the crowds surround you and press in on you." But Jesus said, "Someone touched me, for I noticed that power had gone out of me." When the woman saw that she could not remain hidden, she came trembling, and falling down before him, she declared in the presence of all the people why she had touched him and how she had been immediately healed. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Please be seated, and if other youngsters would care to join us, you're welcome to come down and join us. The more, the merrier. I bet if you wanted to sit outside the rail, if you wanted to sit on that front pew, that would be okay. It is such a treat to see all of your beautiful faces here and to hear all of these beautiful voices this morning. I am so grateful for all of you in helping us to worship this morning. You know, I like to tell stories. The children here know that already, but some of you won't know that because we're just meeting today. And sometimes in the middle of a story, somebody will have a question they just have to ask or something they just have to say. And often I'll stop and they'll ask the question, I'll try to answer it, and then we'll move on. That's called an interruption. It means that while I'm telling the story, I stop and I do something else for a minute or two, and then I go back to the story. Now, sometimes we think, oh, interruptions are bad, but they're not all bad. In fact, the story that you heard Nancy read just now is an interruption. And I'm going to talk about that in the sermon. It's an interruption in another story about Jesus. And it allows us to hear two stories at once. You see, Jesus had come from helping a man who was very, very troubled, a man who was really different from him. He was a Gentile. He wasn't part of Jesus' religion. He wasn't Jewish. He was very troubled, and Jesus was able to help him. So he came back to his side of the Sea of Galilee, where his neighbors, or the people he thought were his neighbors, lived. And as he's walking along, a father interrupts Jesus on his way and says, "My daughter's very sick. Please, please come help her." And so Jesus starts toward this man's house. In the middle of that, a woman who has been sick for 12 years and nobody can seem to help her interrupts Jesus when she touches his robe and he feels power go out of him and she's healed. So he talks to her for a while, and then he starts back. He picks up the first story again and starts back toward the man's house whose daughter was sick. When he's interrupted again, a group of people from the house come, and they say, "You don't need to bother to come. Sad to say, she's dead." And Jesus says, "She's not dead. She's just sleeping." And when he goes to the house, sure enough, he goes in, he takes her hand, and he says, "Little girl, get up." And she gets up, and when she does, he says, "Get this girl something to eat. She's going to be hungry." This is a story about one interruption after another. And at every single one, Jesus helps the person who interrupted. He doesn't say, "Get out of my way, I don't have time." He doesn't say, "Why did you touch me? I was on my way to help somebody else." He doesn't say, when they tell him the girl is dead, "Oh well, no need to bother." No, at every point when he's interrupted, Jesus helps the person who needs the greatest help. That's what I'm going to talk about in the sermon today. And as I do, you will know that not all interruptions are bad. Sometimes we're interrupted and we meet someone we didn't know before. And you know what? They become our friend and our neighbor. Let's pray. Thank you, God, for bringing us these neighbors to lead our worship today. Thank you, God, that we can find neighbors wherever we go. Thank you for the interruptions in our lives. Help us to reach out and help those who need it most, just like Jesus did, because we want to follow his example. And in his name we pray. Amen. Thanks for coming down. You have no idea what a treat it is to tell stories to that many children. You really don't. We always have a good group, but it is such a treat. The energy is completely different when I get a chance to have that many young people close by and to be able to tell a story and to see their faces. So thank you very much. As I was saying to the children, this is a sandwich story, okay? Now, Luke is really good at this, although gospel writers like to do this, and storytellers constantly do this. If you ever notice, storytellers will start one story, and then sometimes, even without being interrupted, they'll go to another story, they'll tell that story, and then they'll come back to the original story. Well, that's exactly what Luke is doing here. You see, Jesus has come back from the Gentile side of the Sea of Galilee. We know it's the Gentile side in part because he drives a bunch of demons out of a man into a bunch of pigs. Jewish folks don't keep pigs, okay? Sure sign that he's on the Gentile side of the lake. After he heals that man, though, he comes back to a place he feels a bit more comfortable, to the Jewish side of the lake. And he's walking along when a man comes to meet him who is an important man. He's an official of the local synagogue. He's the head of the administrative board or the church council or whatever you call your governing body. He is an important and influential person in his congregation, and yet at this point he is absolutely helpless. He is just as helpless as the man who had all the demons before Jesus drove them out into the pigs. Both of them were helpless, and Jesus offers to help both. The man comes and he says, "My 12-year-old daughter is sick. There is nothing I know to do. Would you come help her?" And in true Jesus fashion, he doesn't say, "I'm too busy." He doesn't say, "Make an appointment." He doesn't say, "I can see you in 3 weeks." He says, "Sure." So he and his disciples start to go with this man to his house. When all of a sudden, a woman who has had a hemorrhage, she's been bleeding for 12 years. She has spent all of her money on physicians, and no one has been able to help her. She is, like the father, like the man with the demons, helpless. She doesn't know where to turn or what to do. All the people who are supposed to know how to heal her can't. And she is desperate enough in her unclean state, because any woman who has an issue of blood is ritually unclean, she's willing to risk touching this Jewish male, which means he would be rendered unclean in that process, because she believes that simply by touching the hem of his robe, she'll be healed. And sure enough, in the story, she reaches out, she touches the hem of his robe, and the blood stops for the first time in 12 years. But Jesus feels this power go out of him, and so he says, "Who touched me?" Well, look, they're walking through a crowd. They're being jostled all around. Everybody's touching him, right? But that's not what he meant. He said, "Who touched me?" Because someone touched me and the power went out of me, and that person is different than they were before. And the woman confesses. Now, this is not an easy thing for her to do. In fact, it could be a very dangerous thing for her to do, because she is ritually unclean. She has touched this rabbi, and even though she's been healed, he has every right to be angry with her. But he's not. She tells her story. And in her story, Jesus understands that she was helpless, that she felt like he was her only help, and reached out, and sure enough, she got what she needed. And Jesus calls her daughter. Isn't that interesting? He's going to heal the daughter of a very important man who is helpless, and yet he calls this woman who has had an issue of blood for 12 years this intimate term: "Daughter, your faith has made you well." He doesn't say, "I've made you well." He said, "Your faith has made you well." And he sends her away in peace. But then we pick up the first story again, the story of the very important man who is helpless because his daughter is sick. And along the way, a group of people come from his house and they say, "Don't bother the rabbi anymore. We're sorry to tell you, your daughter has died." And Jesus could have just said, "Sorry, too bad." Jairus, the name of the very important man, knowing how important people have to use their time carefully, could have said, "Well, we won't bother you anymore." But Jesus says, "No, she's not dead. She's just sleeping. We're going to go on." When he got there, there were mourners. And he took the mother and the father and just three of his friends into the room with the girl. And he takes her hand and she sits up. He says, "Sit up, little girl." And she sits up. Then he says, "Whoa, she's going to need something to eat. She's going to build her strength." In every case, the man with the demons, The man who was powerful in most realms of his life, but powerless to help his daughter, and the woman who was powerless to stop her own bleeding, were completely helpless. They come to Jesus in their need, and Jesus responds. It seems that what these stories do is to put flesh on and live out the story Jesus told last week. The story, remember, those of you who are here, that we dealt with last week was the story of a man who was going from Jerusalem to Jericho, who fell among thieves, who was beaten and robbed and stripped and left for dead. Two people pass by, a Samaritan, a hated Samaritan, stops and helps, and then cares for the man and leaves money to see that he's continually cared for a period of time. And at the end, Jesus says, who was neighbor to the man who fell among thieves? And the lawyer who had asked the question to begin with had to say, the one who showed compassion. Well, that was the story Jesus told. These are stories Jesus lived. He's practicing what he preaches. He's walking the walk, not just talking the talk. Who was neighbor to the man with the demons? Jesus. Who was neighbor to the man whose daughter was ill, who people thought had died? Jesus. Who was neighbor to the woman who had the issue of blood? Jesus. And it didn't matter to him one whit that he would be rendered unclean by that woman touching him, or if that girl actually were dead, he would be rendered unclean by taking her hand. None of that mattered. Because you see, that's what neighbors do. Neighbors don't worry about those barriers that we set up, those walls we build between us in our culture and in our world. You see, they don't exist for God, and they didn't exist for Jesus, and Jesus continually tries to tear them down for his followers. It is the person who is helpless who gets the help. It is the person who is needy in any way who gets what they need. In 1976, on July 4th, I flew out to Albuquerque, New Mexico. Now, you might recall, if you're that old, that was the bicentennial of this country, and there was a big deal that we were 200 years old, which was pretty exciting until you landed in Albuquerque and drove to Santa Fe, and the people there said, 200 years, that's nothing. My family been here for 400 or 500 years. What? These were Spanish-speaking people. And later we would meet Native American people whose family had been there for longer than anyone had a measure for. Oh my gosh. One of the things we were doing, I was working with a professor of mine and his spouse, and we were setting up a center to study families in different cultures. And so one of the things we did was to go to a dance day at the Pueblo at Santa Ana. Now, you may know the Pueblo people, one of the native tribes of northern New Mexico, have villages where they live. There are squares in the village, and they have dances there. Now, these dances are a combination of their traditional dances and their Catholic faith. It's really interesting to watch. We went in the early morning because you're never really sure when these dances are going to begin, okay? The Pueblo people say they begin when they're ready. If we did that with church, you all would be so mad. But they begin whenever they're ready. So you sit, you visit, you wait, and when they're ready, the dance begins. And if you're a guest there, when the dance is completed, the people of the village bring food out and line the whole square with food for their guests, for their neighbors who have come. In fact, some of them will simply invite you into their home. You don't even have to know them. And in fact, we were some of the folks who got invited into the home of a Pueblo family, ate at their table. Now, we weren't helpless, but it was a long way from Santa Ana Pueblo to get food anywhere else. And they welcomed us because they simply saw our need. They knew that after sitting there all morning waiting for the dance to begin, sitting through the dance, which was fairly lengthy, that we would be hungry. And so they provided for us both in the square and in their homes. Because that's what neighbors do. Right? We respond to those who are in need. It was very popular a few years ago to wear a bracelet that says WWJD, what would Jesus do? And I know it's a little corny and a little hokey, but you know, we actually know what Jesus did. The question is, what are we going to do? As followers of Jesus, are we going to follow him or are we going to follow somebody else? Are we going to be neighbors the way he described neighbors, or are we going to be neighbors in some different fashion? Setting the limit to our neighborhood, setting the limit to those we love, building walls instead of bridges. We know what Jesus did. We know what he would have us do. Whoever is helpless, hopeless, in need, whoever's life is interrupted by war, famine, drought, Jesus reached out and helped them. We are called to do the same. Now, some folks catch that spirit, and it's interesting that if you come into the harbor in New York, you see a woman standing there, a gift from the French. She's holding a big torch, the Statue of Liberty, or Lady Liberty. And at the base, there's a poem. The poem was written by a Jewish woman, Emma Lazarus, a Jewish poet. One set of her parents were from Germany originally. The other set, many years previously, had come from Portugal. And with an awareness that she was the children or great-great-great-great-great-great-grandchildren of immigrants, because you see her Portuguese forebears had come before the American Revolution. They had been there a while. But in that awareness, she wrote a poem that stands at the base. I won't read the whole thing to you, but I want to read part of it, because you see, it captures for me as closely as anything I've ever read, what Jesus would do, or describes what Jesus actually did. Here at our sea-washed sunset gate shall stand a mighty woman with a torch, whose flame is the imprisoned lightning, and her name, the Mother of Exiles. From her beacon hand glows worldwide welcome, worldwide welcome. Everybody get that? Worldwide welcome. Her mild eyes command the air-bridged harbor that twin cities frame. Oh, keep your ancient land, your storied pomp, cries she with silent lips. Give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free, the wretched refuse of your teeming shore. Send these, the homeless, the tempest-tossed to me. I lift my lamp beside the golden door. There's no question what Jesus did. The only question is, what are we going to do? One way we understand more deeply what we're called to do is through affirmations of faith. And I would invite you to stand as you're able, turn to number 883 in your hymnal, and join me as we affirm our faith using the words from Our Neighbor to the North. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God, who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus, crucified and risen, our judge and our hope, in life, in death, in life beyond death. God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Please remain standing because, I'm going to invite you to share signs of peace one with another. As a forgiven and reconciled people, let us exchange signs of reconciliation and love. The peace of Christ be with you.
And also with you.
We welcome all who gather with us to worship this day. If you're a guest among us, we want to extend a special word of welcome. We're glad you're here, and we invite you to join us for coffee and fellowship in Reed Hall, which is through these doors to my left, your right, following the worship service. Our Andrew ministers would love to greet you and answer any questions you may have about the church. They'll be stationed in Reed Hall and also in the Narthex, which is at the rear of the sanctuary after the service. You can find them by their blue name tags. If you're a student, either undergraduate or graduate, you're invited to join the student community for lunch and faith discussion following the late worship service. They will gather in Reed Hall. In the pew racks in front of you, you'll find a gray card. On one side of the card, you may record any comments you have for the church staff or lay leadership. If you desire a call regarding your comment, please indicate your name and contact information so that we can follow up with you. And on the other side of the card, you'll find a place for prayer requests. Please indicate if the prayer requests can be shared or if you would like us to keep them confidential, and place the card in the offering plates when it comes down the pew in a few moments. Please take a moment to record your attendance with us. If you've not done so already, you'll find a pad to record that at the end of each pew. Once you've recorded and passed it down, please note those who are sitting around you and make an effort to greet them if you've not already done so following the worship service. Today we extend our sympathy to Cheryl and Alan Patton, who are mourning the death of Cheryl's father, Ray E. Cruz, who died January 20th. Services were held January 25th at Harper Hills Funeral Home. We also extend sympathy to Diane Luton Blum and her husband Jeff Blum, who are mourning the death of Diane's mother, Vonnie Luton, who died yesterday, January 28th. Services will be held on Friday, February 17th, here at 3 p.m. Preceding the service will be visitation from 1 to 3. Prepare us now to hear you speak to us, loving God, as we lift up both our silent and spoken prayers. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. God of grace and glory, it is good to give you thanks and to call on your name. We rejoice in your goodness, faithfulness, and in the daily renewal of your mercy. Your steadfast love greets us every morning, and your faithfulness extends through all hours of the night. There is no place where you are not at work, planting and giving nourishment for growth. You anoint us to be your representatives, granting us courage to walk by faith. Help us, O Lord, to truly live out your great commandment to love you with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love our neighbors as ourselves. We ask you to lead and guide us as we seek to be good neighbors. Lord, help us to learn to welcome the interruptions, recognizing they often bring with them an opportunity to share your light with someone in need of your loving grace. Rather than causing frustration, may interruptions help us to learn patience. Empower us to be flexible so we can accommodate the needs of our neighbors. Open our eyes that we may notice the needs of those around us, and grant us wisdom to respond as demonstrated by by Jesus. Lord, we pray for this community, its families, its individuals, its children. We pray for our country and for all the nations of the earth, that the world may know plenty and peace. We pray for those who hunger for bread and for those who hunger for righteousness, that they will be fed what they need. Pour out your Holy Spirit upon us, lead and guide us as we strive to be the loving light of Christ, so that lives and communities and our neighbors are transformed by your grace. We offer this prayer in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, who taught his disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Each of us has been given grace according to the measure of Christ's gift. Let us give as God has abundantly so given to us.
Now go forth as the help of the helpless, responding to those in need, serving God and your neighbor in all that you do, knowing that God, who sees no boundaries between us, Jesus Christ, who came to break down the boundaries between us, and the Holy Spirit that allows us to reach across all boundaries in love to one another, our neighbors, go in peace.